to recap, if there's a reading you wouldn't like to preach on, it's this one. One of the themes of this reading is that Jesus is accusing the religious leaders of not taking care of his sheep, his people. He has come to accuse them as thieves and robbers, coming in not through the gate, but over the wall. So if that doesn't make any preacher think twice about anything they're about to say, I'm not sure what would. We have a responsibility. I remember some time ago, a pulpit I was preaching from had a little plaque on it that said, "Preacher, we would see Jesus." And that is the responsibility of preachers and church leaders, that we should show God in Jesus and enable people to know the shepherd's voice. In Ezekiel, it says, "How terrible it will be for you shepherds of Israel. You eat the butter, you dress yourself with the wool, you kill the finest animals, but you do not take care of your flock. You treated them badly, so they were scattered because they did not have a shepherd. They became food for all of the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and high hills. They were scattered over the whole earth. No one searched for them. No one looked for them." Jesus is accusing the leaders, the religious leaders, of self-interest and of feathering their own nest instead of caring for the people for whom they were given responsibility. This is an important theme of this passage that we should all make important in our daily lives. Someone said recently, what if the closest someone came to Scripture was watching you, watching your life, observing you? What would they see of Christ in you? Another theme that John presents us with is that Jesus' flock includes sheep from another fold. In fact, the Gentiles. At the time of Jesus, in the temple, in one of the outer areas, Gentiles who were known as God-fearers would congregate and would listen to teaching because they admired the way the Jews lived. They admired the spirituality of the Jews, so they gathered there to listen. And after the resurrection of Jesus, in the early days of the Christian church, they still met often in the temple and met with both God-fearers and Jews. Jesus is making the point in this reading that his salvation is open to all. Another theme in this is the authority of Jesus. He comes from the Father. Now, what the Jewish leaders hoped was that Jesus would say something that they could immediately accuse him of blasphemy, stone him, and get rid of him, and then his followers would melt away. Well, here we are, 2,000 years later. His followers didn't melt away, because Jesus was not a false Messiah, as others who had made the claim. Jesus tells us in our reading that he came with the authority of the Father. Now, for a lot of people, his death not least the disciples, his death caused confusion because what they were expecting was a return of the glory of David and the glory of the temple in Solomon's time. And death was not part of that. Death wasn't going to happen, and if he died, then surely that meant that they were wrong, thinking he was the Messiah. But Jesus says, nobody takes my life. I give it. I come with the authority of God, and my life will not be taken. It will be given for the sake of his sheep, for the sake of us. Jesus is recognized by his own. This passage is a bridging passage between the chapter before, where a blind man is healed, and this blind man, even under threat of excommunication by the church leaders, stands by Jesus healing him and stands by who Jesus is. And Jesus is saying, my sheep, my people, know my voice and stand by the Messiah. Now, I want to do a little recap on sheep. We're talking a lot about sheep here, and we don't know a lot about sheep these days, not in our industrialized society. We're post-industrial now. Sheep spend their day wandering around from place to place with their heads down, rarely looking up. They have no homing instinct. They are susceptible to injury. They're helpless against predators. They will huddle together in fear, and they will even follow each other over a cliff. They fear running water, which is why the psalmists talk about leading us beside still waters. They do not respond to the voice of a stranger. I had an illustration of this recently when I went to visit a farmer friend in Yorkshire. And we went out to take the sheep from one field to another. And I had to keep quiet and stand behind him, because they had this little narrow gap that they had to jump over to go into the other field. And I happened to open my mouth, and they all went back again. And my friend had to tell me to shut up. And then he called to them, and they all dutifully jumped over this little stile into the other field. The sheep respond to the voice of their shepherd and not to the voice of strangers. But they are totally dependent upon the shepherd, who provides and protects them. Their safety is to recognize their shepherd's voice. And that is our safety, to recognize our shepherd's voice, to know Jesus, to know when we are called by him, and to beware of being called in another direction. Beware of who and what we listen to. When you hear someone preach, it is up to you to think about what they say. And based on what you know of Jesus and what you know of Scripture, to make a decision about what's being said. We need to know our Savior's voice through prayer, through study. We need to be careful what we listen to. And as the play earlier said, don't listen to strangers. Now, as I read all of the different commentaries and the background and the things that I was reading, as I observed that Jesus assures us of his authority from the Father, as I read Jesus saying that his own knows his voice. As I read Jesus accusing the church leaders of being thieves and robbers, as I read the promise that the flock will not just be Jewish, but will include and is open to all, as I read these things, I thought about the placing John does with this story that we're reading. He places it after the healing of the blind man, which took place at the Feast of Tabernacles. He places it before the next section, the feast that will take place at the Feast of Dedication. These two feasts celebrate the temple and celebrate the glory of the Jewish people in the temple and all that it means. Now I know that when John wrote this, from what my commentaries tell me, that the temple was on its way out, that the temple was being destroyed a second and final time. The Jews changed from being a people whose primary place of worship was the temple to a people whose primary place of worship was the synagogue. The early Christians after Jesus' resurrection, who often met in synagogues, continued to meet in synagogues, met in other places, and it took the gospel message along with Paul in another direction, in a much more open direction. It wasn't just the God-fearers who congregated in the temple. I thought about what a huge change this was for these people, for the Jews and for the early Christians. Their way of worship, their way of gathering, so much changed. But the constant was Jesus. The constant was the voice of Jesus in the teaching and in the scriptures. I saw a picture on Tom's phone of a little dog, and the breed of dog made me immediately think of the phrase, his master's voice. Now, if I say to you, his master's voice, what do you think of? Records. And the little dog listening to the voice through very early record players. We don't have Jesus physically walking among us, but Jesus lives still with us. Our master's voice, our shepherd's voice, is with us daily in his teachings and through the Holy Spirit and prayer. Our world went from a rural agricultural, which it was in Jesus' time, to industrial. It changed dramatically the way we live in the West. Scientists tell us we're on the verge of another big change, the artificial intelligence, which we can already see in all car makers are now looking at designing the cars that can pretty much drive themselves without us. We are coming to a new world, and the world is changing faster than some of us of my age can even think. But the constant in that is Jesus. Jesus is not just of his time. He is of all time. He said he has the authority of the Father. He is the Messiah. He comes for his sheep, not just then, but always. And our response to him will continue to be to recognize his voice, to follow his teachings, to follow the living Christ in every day of our lives. Amen.